Let's turn to a, I think it should be a relatively quick discussion of IBOR, not because IBOR is a simple subject, but because the specific question before us at this meeting is a relatively simple question. Henry?
Thank you, Alan. So this is paper 1C on IBOR reform. Just some of the background to this one. You'll recall we discussed this project in October that had been added to the board's agenda last July. And, of course, it was a research project then exploring the possible effects on financial reporting arising from the discontinuation of interest benchmarks such as LIBOR. And I think we flagged it was a challenging project for us, both because, obviously, there's significant potential impact from IBOR reform given the amount of financial products linked to LIBOR and similar rates, but also because of the expectation on us to respond quickly to changes when they become enacted, which, of course, is challenging because of our need for due process, and in fact also that in some areas it's actually hard to determine exactly what standard setting, if anything, we should do until the details of what will replace IBOR and replacement rates are known. So, as the paper explains, to help in responding to this question quickly, we've split the project into two phases. And in this first phase, which is now on the standard setting agenda and what we're currently working on, we're addressing the matters that arise in the period before the new rates replacing LIBOR come into effect. And the main matter here that we're having to consider is the possibility from IBOR reform and the resulting changes to contracts. They can affect the forward-looking assessments that companies currently need to make to qualify for hedge accounting under the current requirements. And therefore, ultimately, the possibility of IBOR reform could lead to the discontinuation of hedge accounting under the current requirements, which, of course, would have a very significant effect on companies' reporting. So next week, at the board meeting, the staff will be asking the board to consider possible narrow-scope amendments to our financial instrument standards, both IFRS 9 and IAS 39. And these amendments are designed to help companies by providing them with relief from the effects of the uncertainties arising from IBOR reform when they're making these forward-looking assessments when they're applying current hedge accounting. And so this should allow them to continue their existing hedge accounting. In other words, if I've understood this correctly, this is all about ensuring that hedge accounting doesn't fail simply as a result of the uncertainty stemming from IBOR reform. Now, if the board agrees to make this amendment, there'll need to be an exposure draft, obviously, and the staff's current view in this paper we've laid out is that we will be asking you in due course for a shortened comment period, probably 30 days is our current thinking. And our thinking is that this shortened comment period will be necessary in this case, as the amendments will need to be introduced quickly if they're going to provide the intended relief, and that's a point, as we've highlighted here, that many of our stakeholders are making to us. And you can see from the timeline of the project in paragraph 12 of the paper that as we currently envisage it, the idea is to get this finished this year. We also think a shortened comment period of around 30 days would be reasonable in this case because the amendments will be very narrow. And because if you think what they're trying to do there, they're designed to help companies continue with what they currently do with their current hedge accounting. So we're not introducing changes to what they're currently required to do, other than perhaps there could be some additional disclosure arising if this amendment were to go through. So we weren't asking for a decision from you today, but obviously it would be helpful if you have any comments or concerns about our current thinking to air them now before we get into the board's discussion and our future discussion with you about the comment period.
And you will see that no one will complain about that short.
Yeah, I think it's users are not going to complain about this because it's maintaining this. But users aren't going to care. It's a maintenance of the status quo, which is jeopardized by the fact that external changes have produced an uncertainty that rubs up against the way the standards are currently provide for a need for certainty in order to have a good hedge. And preparers are very anxious about getting this change as quickly as possible. The question has been called, in effect, does the committee have questions or concerns about the notion that in probably before our next meeting again, we will be asked to approve a proposal that has a 30-day comment period on it. Michelle?
No, I pretty agree with the approach in terms of, trying to address an immediate question. But this does address the stock of transactions that are basically those institutions have. A number of countries now are developing alternatives to IBOR, and my question was, is there not also a need to provide answers in the context of the emergence of those new instruments?
I don't want to put words in the board's mouth, but I assume that's the second stage of the project, which is, depending upon what the various regulators do, the board is going to be faced with an agenda item of amending or providing for standards that settle the accounting under the new IBOR. If your question is, should we be giving guidance to regulators as to what
they... No, my question is, the Bank of England has done, if I'm not mistaken, has put forward a proposal. I think EU has also their initiative. So,
okay. Is your question, as the regulators come up with new standards, is there going to be a different need to do something immediately to keep status quo in place?
Or to accommodate new transactions that would be referencing those two.
Erky?
You have to correct point out because they may make them come out at the same time, two parallel, Euribor and IBOR, because people are working on that. There are already consultations are happening. So the question is that, Do you work on one and wait what happens with the other, or do you follow the discussion on broader scale? It's a big issue.
I would honestly say my answer is the committee, I'm not sure the board can tell us what it's going to do yet, and it's certainly not for the committee right now, but happy to hear more and different. I think the urgent question on the table is, given today's problem, how can we provide today's solution?
That's right. So all that we're saying now is that at next week's board meeting, we'll talk about what amendments the staff is proposing that we need to make to address this particular issue, which is a relatively urgent issue caused by the uncertainty. We need to proceed and deal with that as soon as we can. And simultaneously, we're monitoring what's happening with the final outcome, and we'll act as soon as we can on that front once we've got sufficient clarity. But at the moment, we need to get this done as soon as possible, because if we don't do it as quickly as what's contemplated here, we risk not providing the relief needed in time for when
I'd make maybe two other observations. One, whatever the regulators do, the status quo is worse than what the board is trying to do quickly. And secondly, I think that your point, Michelle, is fair. It's fair to ask the board without taking any material amount of additional time, if there's a way to do this that perhaps anticipates the uncertainty of the new regulatory action. That would be nice to do if we can do it, but I think the priority is to solve the current problem.
That's clarity. Because we talk about reference rate when LIBOR is losing the rates because of the difficulty. There are also other reference rates at the same time. That's the question. I expect they try to find the same kind of generic solutions to all. But the question only is, should the board follow parallel these events which are taking place at the same time? That's the question, not to take any position on the issue, but it's technically they are working on these issues on various fronts. London is one, continent is the other one.
Guillermo?
Just a quick question. Do we have a sense, or have regulators announced when they will come out with the new rules, or that's also unknown?
It depends on different jurisdictions. So my understanding, for example, is that in the US they're trying to get clarity and finality on this issue this year. But we're not just dealing with Europe, we're not just dealing with the US, we're dealing with Asia, Australia, Canada, all over the place. And so our situation is a very complicated one because of those range of rates. And some of the big unknowns are, for example, whether it's going to be certain that there will be no value differences between the old contracts and the new contracts or not. And that can matter a lot for us in terms of what we do. So we really just need to deal with this now, and then as soon as we can, we'll get on to the bigger questions.
Yeah, my guess is that the board has better information than I do on this, but for other reasons, I happen to know that there are at least 70 jurisdictions that have these kinds of current offered or quote-unquote risk-free set rates. Theoretically, one has to at least think about all of them in step two.
We are principle-based, so we're not...
We don't need 70 different sets of rules, Michelle. I wasn't saying that. But we have to have a rule that takes into account what's going on in to Hans's and Erke's and Sue's point, a variety of different jurisdictions. Anything else, or can I accurately state the sentiment of the board that we hear the request for a tentative request for a 30-day comment period, and we are have no violent concern about it. We will decide finally at the time. That's fair? Okay. Let the record show.